Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, Nathan, it's that time of year again.
Yes, the gift-giving time or the death-producing time.
That's right. We've got a really fun podcast today because we're going to be talking about the cars that are going away, the RIPD cars.
Yeah, the ones that are going to get the axe, the ones that are no longer going to be around, the ones that will no longer bother you.
Yes, for 2023. And then there's a list of cars that, well, we're going to give you the list that's definitely going away, and then we're going to give you those that are in danger of going away. So we're going to do both. But before we get to that, I just watched RIPD 2 on Netflix.
Oh, I'm sorry you did that.
Yeah, it was one of those shows that was like so bad it was good.
Oh, okay.
Did you see the first one?
Yes, I did, and I really didn't understand why a second one was made.
Well, the first one was like Ryan Gosling, right?
Yeah, and what's his name? The dude who was in Tron. I mean, there was like real actors.
Yeah, what's that guy's name now?
Jeff Bridges,
yeah.
Yeah,
those guys bring some like talent to the screen, so they made up, you know,
made up some of it.
Pretty goofy, but they had none of that in the new one.
It was
so stupid that and they tried to be, I think, politically correct in some really like awkward ways. Anyway, watch it if you want to see a really good movie that's really bad.
And I saw Guardians of the Galaxy, the holiday special, and I highly recommend it, and it was really good and touching and blah, 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 blah. There we go. Okay, so we just gave...
What was that on?
Disney Plus.
Oh, I got to check it out then.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I always forget about Disney Plus. Like, I remember when, like, The Mandalorian, I went and looked at it. And then I forgot about it, and then they bring back another one, and I go back to it, because it's all kids stuff, right?
Well,
mostly,
not all of it. It's definitely, I say, worth watching. Anyway, but let's get to, I don't know, cars?
Yeah, let's get to cars. But before we get to cars, let's get to old cars. Mm-hmm. The ones that, we own. We just did a thing where, as you know, we did a video series where we wanted to bring back some 90s convertibles. And one of the cars that we brought back was a 2002, ironically, not a 90s one, Jaguar XK8.
But it's still the same, essentially, as the one that was built in the late 90s and all that, which, by the way.
Which you drove.
I drove, and I adored. If I had the money to buy it, I would have bought it off of TFL. I loved it.
You could still buy it. $6,500.
Especially now. I just bought a new car. I can't buy another
one. Yeah, another one. Yeah. Honey, I traded in the Santa Cruz.
Sorry, the logical car went away, but look, we got a convertible.
Rear-wheel drive, just in time for winter.
it's no bueno. Yeah.
But anyway, we kept that car, and we tried to make it. We called the series from stud to dud because the cars were kind of now old and tired, and especially that Jaguar kind of became the poster child for, you know, the old man driving it to the country club with his 2.5 golf club bags in the back, right? And his varicose veins, yada, yada, yada. Bad, white shoes.
Wow, I am never going to drive that Jaguar again, ever.
But no, I'm saying
you
that's
making me feel horrible.
It became like the stereotype.
It is a stereotype.
So we thought, let's make it youthful, let's make it cool. So the irony of that car is that me and Tommy first saw it parked on a rock in front of our house. The guy who owned it was an older dude.
It was beached.
And we were driving to work, and the road goes east into the sun, and the sun got into his eyes, and he drove on the medium, and the medium has rocks in it, so you don't drive on it.
Like really big rocks.
Yeah, like, you know, like 2 foot tall rocks. And he drove it and beached it on a rock. And then he used Toby, our mechanic, to fix it. So Toby bought it from him. And then Toby, you know, fixed some of the damage in some pretty basic ways. And then he sold it to us for $6.5 for the series.
And it drove like a dream. It had a couple minor issues here and there, but for the most part, it was a terrific car.
So we thought, let's make this car cool again. So what we did was we replaced a nose cone.
Mm-hmm.
We fixed Toby's homemade solution to the grill, which was, I think that was like chicken wire or something he stuck in there.
I think that's exactly what it was, but it worked.
It worked. Yeah, like he spray painted one side, the other side was all rusty. And of course, we detailed it, so we polished it. People were really good with that. And then this week, we on TFL Car, or all TFL.com, we published a video where we wrapped it. And we really didn't wrap it, right? We just basically put, you got to go see it. But the idea was we were going to make it kind of fun and youthful. So what we did was we took a racing stripe and put it down kind of asymmetrically down one side.
Which was interesting.
It was all good, right?
Yeah.
Nobody had a problem with that. And then we took another, this was white, black car, so it pops. Then we took another stripe and put it down the side of the car on both sides and then kind of cut TFL into it. Nobody
Which
had a problem
interesting.
With that.
Yeah.
And then this is where people all of a sudden had a problem. Then we took some red wrap and we wrapped the mirrors, the side mirrors. And people were like, okay. Mm-hmm. They were kind of okay with that, sort of, kind of. And then we took the red wrap and did the A-pillars.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the car has kind of almost like a fish-like, dare I say it, mouth, right? It's got this kind of round mouth.
It's a kissable, beautiful mouth.
Right, right. And we took the red wrap and we put it around, kind of in the way that Aston Martin does for some of their race cars. And you said it looks like what did you say it looked like?
I can't say this.
You can say it.
It was a blow-up doll.
Yeah, you said that's what it looked like. And that was some of the comments. I'll read you some of the comments that we got. Okay. Not feeling the bumper. The detailing looked great. Not feeling the red and white stripes. Lipstick on a pig. Oh, my God. Was that Roman's idea? Pillow stickers off. Way too disjointed. No, sorry. Here's a good one. The red lips might have seemed like a good idea, but not so much. Sir William Lyons, who founded Jaguar, aspired to grace, pace, and space for his cars. The red front end says nothing about grace. A boy racer take on a classic car. That was just some of the nicer comments.
Yeah, I think there may have been a death threat or two. Who knows? But the thing is that it's all about experimentation. Now, we're not a video group that really does builds per se in terms of, you know, like welding and blah, 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 blah in our shop. Not yet. But we're still learning certain things.
I'm not making excuses.
I am.
You're making
I love the car.
I'm going to come out swinging, Nathan. Now I understand why dealers order nothing but white, black, and silver cars. Because our color palette and our taste, at least according to these comments, are so effing boring, right? That if you go outside of the guardrails by a couple inches, you get all this hate. I mean,
well,
come on,
this
is a $6,500 Jaguar that was going to the junkyard. Let's face it, that's where we're going to end up, right?
Then why didn't you wrap it in British Racing Green? That would have been my question.
You could have just bought a green one. What's the point of that?
Because you can't find a green one for that price.
There's no. First of all, the wrap itself would have cost probably more than the car.
Yeah, probably.
And
there's no doubt there.
All right, so that's already problematic.
Yeah.
And then you're not doing anything but taking a black car and turning. Like I said, you know, hey, I'm going to get a white truck. No, I'm going to go outside of my comfort zone and get a black one. Come on, guys. Get a little bit of, like color in your lives. Yeah. I'm saying get a little bit of, like you would say, lead in your pencil and do something that's going to get some attention. And, yes, I know the Jaguar is about space, grace, and blah, 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 blah. But this is a $6,500 car that was going nowhere but to the junkyard. And we made it, I think, interesting and different and fun. I know you guys hate fun, apparently, because...
It's
got to be graceful.
Come on.
No, it is fair.
No, it's not, because some of these people are just like, you know, it would be fun if you had done A, B, and C.
Sure,
some
of them were spend $6,000 on a British Racing Green wrap.
No. People were feeling the white stripes. People were even okay with the side stripes and some of the other stuff. I think that people drew the line when you put the red lipstick on
there. So people were okay with a white racing stripe, which is on every Mustang and every Shelby ever built, right? Ooh, that's really shaking.
Oh, there's
the
black
boat.
Ones too.
Okay, yes, true yeah, that. True. And people are okay with the white striped out. Oh, wow.
But the minute you put red lipstick on them yes. on a Jaguar, then people are going to have an issue.
That's what makes it fun.
I won't disagree with that. It makes it unique. Okay. But there are some people out there who are like, you know what? I don't really want that type of fun.
Dude, you can, if you got, you know.
This is your definition of fun.
We just had this conversation. So we're doing this video where all these cars are dying, right?
Yes.
And the reason they're dying is because people aren't buying them.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
Right? It's like save the manual. If you really believe in saving the manual.
Then you would buy a manual.
Right. And if you really believe you want grace. Well, let me get that quote again. If you really believe. Hold on. Let me find that quote because that is
really what's
quote.
Important is that Enzo really liked certain Jaguars. And that in itself just speaks volumes.
If you really want grace, space, and pace, right? Mm. Then go buy a freaking Jaguar. And the fact is a Jaguar, as much as, you know, is unthinkable, is on the death's door right now. Unless somebody goes out and actually buys Jaguar, there's a realistic chance. The CEO just resigned from the company.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, Nathan, this is absolutely true, absolutely true. They had sold, and this was maybe like a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, 1,200 cars this year. This year, not this week.
That was in the States.
In the States. Yeah. Not this month, this year. Ford sells 1,200 F-150s in about 3 days.
Even less in some cases.
But you see what I'm saying? All of you out there who are like, man, it looks horrible. You know, it shouldn't be grace. Go out and buy a freaking Jaguar if you want grace, space, and pace.
Or at least a used one.
Otherwise, let us try to save, you know, this aging and dying brand by making it fun and, you know, frilly and goofy, right? At least it's something.
Yeah, I hate to use this term, agreeing to disagree, but I think I'm on the fence about some of this. As I said, I like some of what we did. But just, you know, it's a question of aesthetics. Your aesthetics don't necessarily match Brent from Wisconsin.
No, I agree. It's way out there. Mm. Like I said, it is definitely.
Why didn't you use yellow? Oh, you don't have an answer for yellow. Why not yellow lipstick in the front like some other?
I see yellow would have worked. We could have done yellow, but I liked red because it's TFL colors, right? Well, so the Jaguar is black and red is our color. So that's why I chose red.
Okay. So I think rather than belaboring this point, definitely in the comments below, let us know what you would do with the Jaguar if it were yours. You know, this particular one that we have. Now, didn't we do an exhaust on it as well?
Yeah, we did. And everybody hated the exhaust too, but it sounds magnificent.
It does sound actually really good. The good news is.
And you got to go look at it. It's hard to describe, but go look at it. It's on alltfl.com.
There it is. Okay, now should we go on real quickly? I wanted to thank our Patreon.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, especially if you guys like the Jaguar and you're a Patreon. Thank you very much for your support. Without it, we would not be able to do what we're doing here. And by the way, if you want to talk directly to us and have something answered, more often than not, Andre is doing that with the Truck Podcast, but because the majority of the questions are about truck. But with Patreon, you're able to talk directly to us and get a direct answer sent right to you.
Hey, could you do me a favor and put that in front of the computer? I really am proud of that.
Here we go.
And the reason I bring that up is because that shows that we have 1 million subscribers.
Over 1 million.
On car. But guess what? This weekend, we got 1 million subscribers on TikTok. Followers.
So we have 1 million on truck. We have 1 million on car. Over. We have 1 million on TikTok.
Yes.
We have like 500,000 on now. We're doing really well on Classics.
Classics is rocking, about to
break 200K. Guys, thank you for following all those channels. At least for now, while Roman is currently occupied, he's not too bored, so we may not do another channel for another year or two. But
we're
prepare.
Not doing any more channels.
TFL bro. TFL bro. So TFL bro.
So we've got, it says 1 million followers. Yeah. And 31.7 million likes on TikTok. That's honestly,
a lot of that is Tommy.
A lot of hustle from Tommy
and the crew. And thank you guys for doing that if you're listening. So should we get to the
And by the way, if you want to go check out our TikTok channel.
It's TFL
Studios.
Yeah.
Or all TFL, yeah.
Yeah.
But let's get to the list. I think we've kept our fine viewers and listeners waiting long enough. So shall we start with, how did Zach organize this?
Well, Zach, he took this from a particular...
On Autoblog.
But he added to it.
So he added to it. So thank you to our friends at Autoblog
for
writing
this
up. And let's start. I think he did it alphabetically. It looks like it's
alphabetical. Yeah, we did our best to do this. Now, by the way, if we mention vehicles or forget to mention vehicles, write it in the comments below because it's entirely possible that some snuck in between the time you see this and the time we read this.
By the way, I'm really worried about Jaguar.
I am too. But they are selling more crossovers than they are cars, and I'm worried
they're
that
not selling anything.
That the Jaguar sedan, which I still adore, I still love the look of them and the way they ride. I'm worried that the Jaguar sedan, the classic Jaguar sedan, is going to disappear.
So what happened with Jaguar is they had a new seat. They had a plan to have like a 7-seater electric vehicle, and then they had another. There were two electric vehicles that were coming, and they hired this. I think he's Italian, new CEO, and he scrapped that.
Yep.
He said no, and those cars were almost ready to be rolled out. They're like, I mean, they had spent probably hundreds of millions in getting them almost ready to roll, and then he came in and he said, no, what I'm going to do with Jaguar is I'm going to make it a premium brand to rival like Aston Martin, right? So that was the plan.
Yeah.
That was his plan, and of course that plan went out the window when we don't know if he got fired or if he resigned because he was, you know, whether he was pushed or jumped, we don't know. But he announced, and this is not too long ago, that he's leaving, and now Jaguar is once again without a CEO and without a clear direction on where the brand's going
to
go.
I volunteer to be a CEO. I will make your brand better. Or hire Bob Iger. He is back at Disney, and I think he'll help Jaguar too.
The problem is they're part of JLR, right? So it's Jaguar, Land Rover, Range Rover, JLR.
Which Tata owns.
Yeah, and while they're building, you just mentioned it, while they're building crossovers, they really have a hard time going up against crossovers that are built by Land Rover and Range Rover. So you see the problem. You can't cannibalize sales.
You're in fighting. And you drove recently a Jaguar crossover, and you were kind of like, you kind of liked it, but you didn't love it.
Yeah. You know, so there's a new F-Type, right, the sports car, which now has the 4.4-liter twin turbo out of the BMW, which is phenomenal. But the company, you know, has, whenever they've built like leading and competitive sports cars, they've done really well. It's when they've tried to compete with the Germans, like with the XC, right, where they went up against the 3 Series, where they went for volume. And they've done it twice, and both times it blew up spectacularly. And I owned one of them, so I owned the X-Type, which was, you know.
Under the
Ford years, they tried to compete and go mainstream.
Yeah, it was a Mondeo.
And then they tried to do the same thing with the XC, right, against the 3 Series, and it also didn't work. So I think Jaguar needs to not try to compete with the Germans, but actually, you know, forge their own way.
They need to retrace their roots.
Yeah.
And I think that they need to establish their own identity, and they need to do it in a big fashion. I think one final push, I agree they should produce more electric vehicles because it's competitive, but while they still can, they have the technology to build really good cars that speak to individuals that are unique. Screw what the Germans are doing. Forget what the Japanese and Koreans are doing. Don't worry about the Americans. Make your own car. Make it unique.
I mean, how many buyers are out there who are buying Jaguars because they're not a BMW, Mercedes, or Audi? I mean, there's some people who do that.
There are some. I actually know somebody.
But you can't build a business on that.
No, it's not enough. It's not enough. And perhaps you look at the direction that Volvo went and how they decided to go a slightly different direction. Although, granted, they have somewhat deep pockets who's running the ship.
Because of the Chinese ownership.
Exactly. But, you know, you guys are in a unique position to where you have brand identity, you have brand cachet. And perhaps I think Jaguar should really go back and maybe a little bit of retro, maybe a little bit more feel, a little bit more customer identity where you're bringing in and saying, only someone like Johnny Depp will drive this car, or only someone like Roman Mika will drive this car and put red lipstick on it.
I think that's what we try to do with that XKA, right? We try to make it fun and youthful and relevant versus kind of just, you know, old and stodgy and, you know, set. It's hard for legacy brands to do that. I get it, right? It's really hard. But with electric vehicles, every brand has this opportunity. And Tommy was talking about this. And I'm sorry, we'll get to this list in a second.
Yeah.
But I want to get your opinion and your opinion out there, too. He's exactly right. He was talking about all the electric crossovers, right, that are coming out.
A gazillion.
Right? They all look alike, Nathan.
Yes, they do, especially from the profile.
I mean, whether it's a Mach-E or an ID4.
Or even the Model Y.
Or even a Model Y. They're just all really boring designs.
Yeah, they're teardrop shapes.
Kind of. And this is an opportunity to completely, I mean, the form factor is completely different because you've got the skateboard of a chassis. Mm-hmm. So you could do whatever you want on top. And Jaguar was one of the first ones with, I don't know why they called it the I-Pace, not the E-Pace, but with the I-Pace, right? Yeah. And they could have taken that very well-engineered I think it won. I think it actually won all kinds of prizes. I think it was like World Car, all this stuff.
It won a lot, but unfortunately, still never had the range to be competitive. But they
never took that chassis, which is which is what you normally would do, and then build a convertible on it.
I agree.
You see what I'm saying?
I totally
agree. They just let it die, which to this day I don't understand.
I think that was new management. That when he came in, he wanted to kill that off. He killed off like two other EV projects that they had almost produced. Yeah. So it's an individual, but hey, you can only do sour grapes for so long. What do you do to make a company like that profitable quickly?
So what electric cars now are interesting in terms of design? There's only a handful of them, right? There is the Hyundai and Kia twins, I think.
Ioniq 5 is still one of the coolest cars, not just because we got a chance to really drive
and
it.
The EV,
it's a cool-looking car.
And the EV6.
I don't like the way it looks, but some people do.
And the Ioniq 6.
Yeah.
That's the one that just came out in L.A., right?
Yeah, that's the one you reviewed in Korea.
It looks like an Infiniti.
That's the one I really don't like. I'm sorry.
Okay. You don't like that one.
No, because it's a total teardrop.
Yeah. But I'm saying it's unique. It doesn't look like every other one.
No,
so,
it doesn't.
So you're those right. are unique. The Hummer is certainly unique, the Hummer EV, whether you like it or not. But it's okay, that's a problem, right, where you like some people love it and some people hate it.
I just find it a useless design, but I totally get why some people would dig it. I get it. And you're right. If you have a skateboard platform, in reality, there is almost nothing you can't do with that in terms of packaging. And it is all about packaging. And, very recently, if you go to tflcar.com, and it's all TFL, I do a column every week called Ask Nathan, and I actually talked about retro EV design. And what happened was I was at the SEMA show, mm-hmm. which was rough, and Nissan had an Ariya, which, by the way,
another one that looks like everything else.
Yeah, but what they did is they brought in a guy who wrapped it and put cool wheels on it so it looked like a Woody. And it kind of looked cool, and it was
that's already a bad sign when you got to bring in a guy to make it look like.
Well, the worst part is it's not on the road. That's the worst part of the Ariya. Sorry, Nissan, you totally blew it.
By the time that thing comes out, it'll be at least a generation.
Oh, it's already like 3 years past, almost 3 years past. But the point I'm getting at, Roman, is that car went from being just like any other car to this is interesting because they did something kind of unique. Why not make it so a customer can hit a button and select, I got a convertible, it's on the exact same platform as, hit a button, a station wagon, minivan, whatever. All of those things should fit on a skateboard platform. That's what you guys have been marketing for years, and we're not seeing it.
And Volkswagen does that usually, right? The Volkswagen group does that.
Yeah, you're seeing that with the ID Buzz.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. Finally,
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And that thing's not coming until 2024
to
America.
It's ridiculous that we have to wait this long. But remember, the Europeans get the good stuff because no soap for you in the United States.
And by the way, one of the Volkswagens is on this list that we'll be talking about. Let's save it till the end.
Yes.
Okay. It's a V.
So it's V anyway, so yeah. Should we go on the list?
Yeah, let's start with the list. Okay. We've ranted long enough.
And I don't see any Jaguars on here. Congratulations.
But there's nothing new from Jaguar either. On the other side of the coin
I was trying to be
positive.
Yeah, okay, so much for that. Thanks, Roman.
Okay.
So dead cars for 2023. And once again, there are other ones that are rumored to disappear. We'll hit those in a minute. The Acura ILX, which is being replaced by the Integra.
Yeah, and I think that's a smart marketing move.
I think
move.
It's a really good move.
The ILX was never, it was always kind of like watered down Civic. I think they tried to go for luxurious Civic, mm-hmm. but I think they ended up with watered down Civic. And I know that's weird, but that's always, by trying to make it more luxurious and more upscale, they actually made it less interesting and less less sellable in some ways.
I don't know. I like it a lot. I think
you like the ILX?
I liked the ILX when it first came out, and I liked the idea of it because it's entry level into Acura. And I fully admit I do like Acura, and you guys know that. But I also like the fact that because it just aren't selling them. And the Integra is a more utilitarian car. It's got the hatch. It's a much more logical setup altogether. I did not like the Integra when I first saw the sample of it. Remember the yellow one? That looked terrible. But up close, the regular one, I think, looks okay. So I think it's a really good move.
So you were a fan of the ILX?
I was a fan.
Really?
For the original ILX. And then they just kept kind of making it a little soft and just, I don't know. I just felt like Acura kind of dropped the ball.
So one of my friends that I run with bought one of them, mm-hmm. And she loves it. She says
it's a good little car.
She's very happy with it. But, in terms of a car that's for the enthusiast, right, the stuff that we value, which is like driving enjoyment, engagement, the kind of car where you would just go out for a drive. The ILX never had that sort of appeal to me. And the Integra does. We just had the Integra, and I could see myself taking that out for, you
know,
a fun ride.
It is a much more youthful, fun car, and it still has some luxury amenities in it. Once again, I'm not disagreeing with Acura making this decision. I just think that the ILX had some decent past components to it. Speaking of Acura, the next one, it's a sad one, but once again, you guys didn't buy them, and that's the Acura NSX. The production of the Type S Special Edition just wrapped up.
Sold out like that.
And that was the coolest looking one, too.
From Wednesday.
Yeah. Ba-boom. Yeah. Oh, so for the show, he likes Wednesday. I don't blame him.
the show on Netflix, right? Wednesday, the Addams Family. Sorry.
Yeah, the Addams Family, whole thing. The NSX is one of the most underrated sports cars in the world. It has some of the tech that you could find in a LaFerrari, and it absolutely performs beautifully, yet it can be driven fairly comfortably. I'm not a big fan of the seats, but in terms of its overall driving ability and its looks, I think it's an astonishing car, especially the final versions of it.
If you were to ask me what car you should buy
for a collector
as an investment grade car, that is the one that if you have they're very expensive, $150,000.
It's actually a drop in the bucket compared to what some other cars cost.
Sure that, yeah. But I'm saying if you are in that world and you have that money, instead of getting in line for 911, which, you know, a lot of you are out there in that world, go get yourself an NSX and hold on to it, because it's got the classic ingredients for being hugely popular like 30 years from now. Very limited production. You know, there's always those cars that were like underappreciated or disliked when they were new, and then all of a sudden the world wakes up and they find out that it's a really good car.
And it's got real curb appeal. I've seen these things everywhere. I drove one through the snow once and actually got a chance to get one sideways at a drifting thing, and it was the most enjoyable car I've ever driven.
Built in America.
Yeah.
Built in Ohio, which most people are like, what? Jaw drops. They think it's made in
Japan.
How
can that be built here?
It's built in America.
Terrific car. Now, I wanted to talk about a car that I know Roman really likes. In fact, he even owned one of these.
Okay.
Actually, he owned an NSX,
NSX
too.
Yeah.
So maybe, I think almost everything on this list, one of us has owned. we know someone who's owned that we're related to. So that's the Audi TT.
Yes.
That is going away with the 2022 model year.
Before you get excited, we owned like the first generation, the one that was very like
Bauhaus.
Yeah, the one that was all roundy. And the problem with that one was the one we bought was like $5,500. And Audi during that generation seemed to build cars that had built-in replacement figured into the.
Well, wasn't the platform?
It was built on a Golf. It was a Golf, but the Audi version, even though it had like more stainless steel than you can shake a stick at, it still started to fall apart after about 100,000 miles.
Those seats were glorious.
Yeah, see, we had the baseball stitching one.
I absolutely love those.
And ours
seats.
Was that kind of jet gray color, which is really cool. But the car just, first of all, it did not hold up. So every time you got into it, something broke on it, and something expensive, right?
That
was potentially more valuable than the car. Number two, even though it was all-wheel drive, it had the turbo. But it didn't. No, we had the six cylinder, so we had the bigger of the two engines.
Do you have a V6?
Yeah, we had the V6. I think it was a V6, but it was slow and it was not very fun to drive.
Yeah, it looks like a really fun car, but the newer, the final versions of the TT, some of the sport versions of the car were extraordinary.
The one I'm longing for is the TT RS.
Yeah, the RS.
Yeah, so that belonged like the
that's already a collector's, dude.
Yeah, the current generation of the TTRS I would love. But the Audi TT is sadly going away. The rumor is that they're going to replace it with something electric.
Yeah, which reminds me, the next one on this list, the Audi R8, as we know it, at least, according to Zach, our producer, he says that Audi is shifting towards EVs. And so it sounds like the A8 may be or the R8 may be one of those casualties along the way.
So that was one that gave, like, seriously, the 911 a run for its money, right? All-wheel drive, affordably priced, mid-engined, which was pretty cool.
Still one of the best.
Or was it mid or rear?
It was mid-engine,
was
actually.
It
wasn't
yeah.
full-on rear.
Remember when we had the two, we had the manual and the automatic?
And the manual was the V8, and then when the auto we had was the V10.
Out of the Lamborghini.
I loved that V8. It was the most flexible driving, forgiving car. It was comfortable to sit in. You and I both fit just fine. It was a great car. And it was early days TFL, by the way, when we did those videos, like 10 years ago now. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful car.
My only rub with the R8, and they actually made it worse over the generations, was that it was a little too perfect. You know what I mean? It was just a little too cold and a little too – it's the exact opposite of what a Ferrari is, right? A Ferrari is emotionally engaging and just like, you know, sets your heart on fire. Whereas the Audi kind of talked to the left side of your head, the brain, and it was logical and it was very German, but it just didn't like have that passion.
I completely disagree.
Fair enough.
I think a McLaren is something that is almost too left brain. Whereas in, I think that the Audi spoke to my happy German side, and there is one. And I say to you, Entschuldigung. Okay, so let's move on to the Buick Encore. Now, there's a funny thing going on right now with General Motors, and that is we don't know what the hell they're doing. General Motors recently changed the Trax.
$112,000 electric trucks.
Indeed they are. The Chevy Trax, which shared a platform with Buick Encore, the little one, well, that's going away, and a brand new one, which Roman's done a lot of talking about, is coming out soon. It's actually pretty interesting.
I actually sat in it for the first time. We did a video, and what makes the new track so cool is that it starts at $21,000. And I did a video, and in a time where used car prices have gone ballistic and new car prices have gone beyond ballistic, to have a new car that's coming out that's going to start at $21,000, and the one that I sat in was the Active, which was the top of the line.
29.
So it starts to figure the average price is going to be about 25. But I just found the car to be interesting. I found it to be the only thing missing in it was all-wheel drive for me here in Colorado.
Yeah, which is interesting that they decided to omit that. But that could change in the future. The other thing is that I actually did a quick read-up on that vehicle. And it actually comes with a lot of standard equipment, which is great. But going back to the Buick, now part of that vehicle is disappearing as its old form with a tiny little one, and this is a much bigger one, the Chevy Trax. So this Buick Encore has no place to live, but there's the Encore GX, which essentially replaces it, and it's a larger vehicle. It has more power, and essentially it's a better vehicle all around. But I will say this. Even though the Encore was kind of unloved by some journalists, I actually thought it was a decent little car for the money, and the all-wheel drive system worked good, so much so that my sister bought a used one a couple years ago, and she absolutely adores it. It's just a very simple, perfect car for my old fart sister. Okay, should we move on?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so speaking of General Motors, the next one is the Chevy Spark. Goodbye. That one's going away. And no big surprise, A, nobody's buying them, fleet sales.
That goes back, I think, to their partnership a long time ago in Korea with Daewoo, right? That's where that like got.
That is a Korean built vehicle. Actually, some of these other ones are as well, including the the new GX Encore is.
The Spark, you know, the name was good. We had the EV for a while, remember?
That was terrible. I hated that, but I liked the regular Spark.
Why'd you hate the EV?
It had no range.
Tommy loved that car, but it had like seriously 60 miles of range.
Yeah, if that, and it just I don't know. It felt more like a golf cart. It didn't feel like a true EV to me.
It was tiny, and it was a California compliance car.
Exactly. I mean, and I put it up against my Nissan Leaf.
And you know what's disappointing about it? I bought it because we had the 2014, which was the one that had batteries by a company called ABC, which subsequently went out of business. But it had like it supposedly had 400 pound foot of torque.
It didn't feel like it.
Yeah. If it did, they buried it because then they went to the LG and they toned it down. But it didn't like smoke its front tires, which I was expecting. I thought it was going to be this Hellcat, tiny little front wheel drive monster, and it was just a city car with not enough range.
It was slightly faster than an old Nissan Leaf. Let me put it to you that way.
I think you said it best. I mean, it'd be perfect at like Sun City, Arizona, where you're putting around.
Precisely.
You know,
Florida, which is where we got it from.
Yeah, when you're putting around going to the Walgreens to get your medicine filled.
But the regular Spark was the entry-level Chevrolet vehicle, and that was one of those vehicles you can get well under $20,000 and have actually, I mean, once again, some decent equipment coming into a base model car. Its biggest issue with me had nothing to do with its power or anything else.
The biggest issue with me was a Sonic. I would have gone for that all day long.
Sonic disappeared a while ago.
I know.
No, it's not that.
Remember the Sonic Turbo?
Yeah, it was terrific. I love that car. It was a great little fun car.
I'm saying just go for the Sonic. Forget the Spark.
But it's gone. The Spark's biggest issue with me is that you can only legally hold two people in the back seat. There's a little tray there, preventing a third person. However, in other markets, it is permitted to have a third seatbelt back there. Well, so
I think we topped the payload, just the two of us.
Yeah,
we probably did.
Yeah, it's,
forget three or four. Just one and two is the end of it.
So moving on to another Chevrolet, which we just mentioned before, is the Chevrolet Trax, and that's because the new Trax is coming. And I wanted to add more to that Chevrolet Trax that you jumped
let's talk
into.
About it.
That is a much bigger vehicle than the one that it's replacing.
It's roomy, Nathan. I sat in the back.
That's exactly the
point.
I
fit in the back.
And that's what I really like. I mean, forget the fact that they call it a crossover. It's not. It's a hatchback that's tall in my book.
It's a tall hatchback, yeah.
But it has a lot of extra space. And for a $21,000 starting price, which already comes with some pretty good features, I do think that this is a vehicle worth looking at. But I wanted to quickly verify this. Base engine is three-cylinder turbo?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Three-cylinder turbo, which
yep.
I believe is still Korean source. So keep that in mind. I believe that's where that powertrain comes from. Not necessarily a bad thing, but keep it in mind. Is it an automatic or is it a CVT?
It's an automatic. I think it's an 8-speed auto, actually.
Terrific.
Yeah, if I remember right. Yeah.
I think
it puts out like 130 horsepower, something like that. I'm guessing.
Something that size. And, yeah. And the whole point is getting good mileage. I'm glad that General Motors is still building gas-powered vehicles, despite the fact that they are moving to almost all electric in the very near future. So that's a good thing for them. Now, this next vehicle, I'm thrilled they're getting rid of.
Oh,
my. Because it was such a letdown.
Yeah, that was
such a letdown.
That was like, I think Ford needed a vehicle to compete with like the Renegade.
And the Trax.
And the Trax. And a Fiat 500, right?
All those 500X, yeah. So what we're talking about is the Ford EcoSport.
Or do you say EcoSport?
Well, I got corrected rudely by one of the Ford PR people, and she said, because I said, is it EcoSport or EcoSport? Eco makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah,
she looked at me, she goes,
economical.
No, it's Echo. And I thought, so Echo is a repeating sound, but Eco is sort of like economical, and this is an economical car. That makes no sense. I think someone at Ford just refused to call it EcoSport for whatever reason. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Basically, they took a car that was built and manufactured for, I think, India.
India and some of the, markets.
Those markets, and brought it to America. I got to say, it had the worst screen in the entire automotive world.
That was one issue.
For the longest time. Just the screen was like a little line of and then they got a bigger screen, eventually got better. But initially, it felt tinny. And I'm being nice mm-hmm. when I say that.
Yeah.
It had a rudimentary four-wheel drive system.
It was
rolled on barely, like 13s or something.
Yeah, no, they had bigger wheels available.
They had 15s?
Yeah, I think so. I think they even had a
17s. Okay, maybe.
Yeah, on one of the versions. This was a vehicle that had potential. I thought it looked cool. I really did, especially the overseas one, where they had a spare tire hanging off the back.
That was
Jeep
the best
style,
part of it. Yeah,
but they got rid of that for our market, so it's like, okay, it doesn't look cool. It had some utility, but because the door swung open as opposed to lifted, it made it difficult for certain areas in order to get access to the back of the vehicle. Back seat wasn't very comfortable. The overall design, although I thought it looked good, really was kind of on the cheap side. And there were other vehicles for the same price. And this is the big issue. Other vehicles for the same price that were better.
So
Honda HR-V is a really good example.
I talked to a Ford dealer because I was curious, if this thing sells. So can you guess what this Ford dealer used them for and how he sold them?
Complimentary cars.
As service loaners.
Yeah.
And then they would sell them as, used car.
Right. So
he said that way they sold really well. So you have it as a service loaner, right? Mm-hmm. And then you could sell it as a cheap used car.
I do have something positive to say about it now that
I'm not being critical. I'm just saying.
That's a logical point.
Right.
One of the easiest cars to park and drive around very crowded neighborhoods. I actually drove this around the campus area over at Boulder, CU.
Yeah, it's a car that a lot of first-year drivers drove.
Yeah, actually, I think it would be a really good car for them. It just doesn't have the amenities that a lot of the other Ford products do on top of everything else. So it's a shame. It had potential. It never lived up to its potential.
And let's face it, the plastics were about as cheesy gets.
Right. And according to Zach, Maverick is their de facto replacement on price. and practicality, style, capability, overall utility, and some other
which
things.
Which makes sense.
Makes total sense.
Yeah, it makes, because what does Maverick start at? Like 20, if you could
22 now, I think, is right. Realistically. But you still get the hybrid for that. That's your entry-level vehicle.
Yeah.
And then going up to one that has all-wheel drive with little turbos, only a couple thousand more.
And if you don't know what the Maverick is, because, you know, you're new to compact trucks, it's a little tiny truck that competes with Nathan's Santa Cruz.
That's correct. And by the way, it was a tough, tough choice between that and the Santa Cruz. That's a whole different video.
You can't get Mavericks.
That's the other problem. They're almost impossible to get right now unless you want to wait 6 months at least.
Yes.
Okay, let's move on to the next one, the Honda Insight. Now, this is a car that's actually been surrounded a little bit of controversy.
Yes, true that. Go for it.
Honda Insight, when they recently did a major refresh on it, now this is their hybrid, and they've had their hybrid around longer, I believe, than the Prius. And their original version of the Insight was a really cool car, or a really horrible car if you bought it used and didn't buy. Poor Andre.
I want to say the Insight came out first in Japan, but the Prius came out first in America.
It may have.
So, like, the Insight was first hybrid, but mm-hmm. then Prius was faster to come here, and then, like, 6 months later, the Insight showed
up. You may be right.
And then that was that weird one with the two-seater that looked
which
like a
giant, owned.
Which we owned.
Manual transmission was available.
With the covers on the rear wheels. It looked like a big cockroach in some ways.
Well, some people say suppository, but I say that it was a really cool first vehicle. And then
I loved it. We bought it. We loved it.
Except we bought a horrible one.
The one with the battery that had just taken a dump.
Yep.
And a cat that had obviously taken other
thing inside the vehicle.
Inside the vehicle, which once you get cat, you know what, in a car or any house, you might as well just burn it and drive it off a cliff because you're never going to get that stinger.
Yeah, I think Roman was debating having me like take it somewhere and actually use it as a shooting target.
We were, yeah.
We seriously were driving over it. We talked about
with
that.
With a tank, yeah. Something like that, yeah.
But we did. We managed to get rid of it, but it was definitely an interesting car. But the car that replaced it...
After we spent a weekend trying to shampoo it.
The car that replaced it was not particularly good. It was just a really inexpensive hybrid.
Well, there were three versions of it.
Right. And that's the thing, is that the most recent one, which has now been discontinued, it wasn't a bad car. It was just, it played in the same sandbox as so many others just wasn't unique.
So the theory, I think, from Honda's point of view with the new, but the latest generation, was they were going to build a car with Acura-like interior, which it had.
It looked really
premium
good.
Premium interior.
It was a good-looking car.
Yeah, at a Honda cost. So they were going to stuff this really great and really expensive interior, and then they were going to sell it in three versions, right? There was a hybrid. There was an all-electric, which didn't get a lot of range. If I remember right, it was like 80 or less than 80 miles of range. Mm. And then there was a hydrogen-powered one.
Right.
And all three of them looked goofy because it looked like the car from the outside was styled by the same guy who did your dad's Buick.
Well, the restyled one, which
was better.
Was better. And unfortunately, that is going away. But keep in mind that Honda is doing a new Civic Hybrid, which essentially is going to replace it anyway. It just makes sense because the car's overall volume, its capability, and its size and the demographic, all of that really does cater to people who would buy a Civic Hybrid anyway.
It just never worked.
Yeah, it never quite worked. It's not a major loss unless you're a major Honda fan. Now, this next one is a little bit sad for me because I always thought this little car was pretty decent, more so than some others, and that's the Hyundai Accent.
You know what the problem there is? The Accent's been around such a long time that it's got that Hyundai reputation for being cheap and, you know...
And it's really not that cheap. It's the current one is a decent little car.
You see what I'm saying? They've renamed every 2 years. Hyundai now basically redoes their car and comes up with new names. And the Accent goes back to I wouldn't say bad old days, but certainly the days when Hyundais were considered to be cheap entry-level cars that you bought when you had bad credit. And
what's interesting is that Hyundai
lifted
the Accent to a higher level. So if you looked at all the inexpensive tiny cars that it competed against, the Hyundai Accent was actually on a higher level in terms of price. Well, that was because it was packed with lots and lots of stuff. Now, to be fair, small cars aren't selling. They just aren't. That's why we mentioned the Spark as well. People out there are tired of small cars, or
SUV will one to rule them all. The SUV so, crossover,
but even small SUVs aren't really quite doing it in some cases. So the point is that the Accent just really lived in a space that wasn't that popular. I have a feeling that Hyundai is going to replace that eventually with a less expensive electric vehicle. They're already doing it with Kia, with the Niro. So I think you're going to see something like that coming along with Hyundai, and that will be the replacement for the Accent. Well, That's my guess.
How about the Venue?
The Venue is one of the replacements, yeah. It's a decent little car.
Yeah, it is a decent little car.
It's actually got some really good elbow room for a small car. It's like a little wider.
Yeah.
And it's not an all-wheel drive vehicle, even though they kind of jack it up and make it look like it is. It's essentially an Accent, just wider and a little bit more...
More crossovery. It's a different name.
But there's more, because there is the Hyundai Ioniq. Now, before you guys freak out...
Oh, my God.
No, it's the old Hyundai Ioniq, which essentially looked a lot like a Prius, actually, an older Prius.
Yeah, it's kind of swoopy, kind of... It's kind of a Prius hatchy kind of thing, yeah.
They had no intention of keeping this car for very long.
I saw one at the bagel shop today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and I pulled up next to it, and I looked, and it said Blue Drive. Remember that? Blue Drive.
That they got rid of that whole moniker, I believe. Or at least it's not popular anymore.
It was like Toyota Synergy.
Yeah, it's all the same type of thing. They just want some extra
Nobody
spec.
Knows what it means, right?
Yeah, blue drive. Oh, that means a blue planet.
Versus orange drive.
Yeah, well, you know. So the point is that that's going away. But, you know, you got the Ioniq 5, you got the Ioniq 6 and all that.
It just sounds good. Like Synergy Drive. What does that mean, Synergy?
It doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't. But also...
Just a big word that's...
What was it? Nice Dreams or Blue Dreams and some of these other names that they have. And, Smart Stream. SmartStream is one that they use at Hyundai still. It's in my car, and I just like...
That sounds like a prostate pill.
Yeah, actually, it does sound like, you know, you will urinate a lot easier using SmartStream. I'm sorry, but you got to really work on these names. Okay, the next one here is, now bear in mind, listen to the whole trim, it's the Lexus RX-L.
I did a video on that with a friend of mine who works at Lexus, who's become really cool. Nobody ever watched that, but the guy is great, and he's very tall, and he got in the back seat of that thing with me. The problem with the L, of course, was that it was a three-row R.
If you want to call that three.
Yeah, RX. And me and him both got back there, but it was certainly interesting. I think he's like 6'5", and I'm, 6'5", wide in width, not in height. But it's like you want a car that does it all, right? So the RX is Lexus's most popular car, and so you put a backseat into it, and then you basically eliminate any storage space behind the backseat.
And the other reason, honestly, is that they have a brand new RX that just came out, and it's new components all the way around, or mostly, and it just doesn't quite work. And there's a reality here. Lexus builds other vehicles that have a third row that are way more comfortable, and giving journalists less stuff to complain about is one step forward. And it was so easy to complain about that horrible third row.
And it might come back in the new one. They haven't announced it yet. I just drove the new one. But it might, but I doubt it.
I sincerely doubt it.
Let me ask you this, Nathan.
Yes.
For a while there, all the manufacturers were on a kick to put third rows into these like mid-size crossovers / SUVs. Yeah. Was that just silly? I mean, if you want a third row, wouldn't you just go for like a big vehicle?
Not if you're strapped for cash. I'm sorry, but that's the only reason why the Dodge Journey sold.
Well, then get a minivan then.
It's so easy to say that, but minivans are not that cheap.
Get a used minivan. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, I think it's a marketing gimmick. I don't think anybody ever got the usability of that third row for like little kids is so tight because they have to be old enough where they can crawl back in there, right? But not too old where they're like too tall to fit back there. So you have like this very short amount of time that little kids can use it. And a dog is just as happy. You know, the dog doesn't need a seat, right?
Now you're saying that once again, your opinion, but I disagree.
Everything I say is my opinion.
Well, my dog is strapped to a seat. I actually have a seatbelt latch for my dogs.
And I think that's respectable. My dog would not tolerate that.
Because your dog is the size of you. So your dog's a beast. But no,
let me
give you an example. Let me give you an example.
Go for it.
The previous Mitsubishi Outlander.
Yes, that's the other one. It had the third row.
Yes, it did. And it was a tiny third row.
Yes.
Almost useless. However, I drove one around, and I actually was able to get my daughter was in high school, and I was able to get her entire, most of her tennis squad over to her tennis match, including some of the smaller girls who were in the third row. And then, you know, all of us, we had to scoochie around to make the room, but we were able to do it. And the idea of having that type of utility for a family person who has more than one kid is really important. And that's why out of dozens of cars that I've owned, four of them have had a third row seat, even though I rarely used it. My Nissan Pathfinder, I used it all the damn time, and it wasn't all that comfortable.
I would say if you think that's a buying decision that you're using to get that car, just don't. Get the minivan, and you'll be much happier. I'll give you an example, okay? So all right. I used to do a lot of biking.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two places you could put your bike, right? You could put your bike in the vehicle, mm-hmm. which oftentimes is tight, and it takes up, you know, the third row.
Or you got to pull the front wheel off. Or second row,
right? And you got to pull the front wheel off, right. Which is its whole. And then you get grease from the chain on everything. It's mm-hmm. just not, it's not great. So then I started putting it on top of the roof of the car. But that's even worse in some ways because you still have to usually pull the front wheel off, even though they made ones where you didn't have to pull the front wheel off. And then you got to get the thing on top of the car, which is not easy, especially if it's like a mountain bike. They're heavy and they're awkward. Mm-hmm. In fact, I had the worst thing that ever happened. We had a Volvo Cross Country.
Yeah.
And I had Tommy's little bike on the top, and it flew off on I-70. Yeah, I was nobody got hurt, nothing. The bike, you know, got a little banged up. No car ran into it, but it was terrifying. But the other thing that happens is then you run into the garage with the bike because you forget about it, and you tear the bike off. So now the solution, of course, is
bumper.
Yeah, you put it on the back, right?
Yeah,
you put it in the back. It's easy. You know it's there, right?
Yeah.
And now everybody's gone to that. And that's, I think, what's happened with cars. I think people figured out that if you really do need that third row, get a minivan.
I'm not disagreeing that a minivan is the
you can't afford like super Suburban or a Tahoe or something.
Right, but there are an awful lot of people out there who still can't afford even that. The least expensive minivans that give you all-wheel drive, suddenly you're in another zone. If you live here in Colorado and you only have $35,000, you will not be able to buy an all-wheel drive minivan.
The only car where I liked that third row, I thought it was cool, was in the Mercedes-Benz GLB.
Once again, above that $35,000.
Right, right. But I'm saying I liked it there. And then they just did a new electric version of that, right?
Yeah.
And we were on the program, the worldwide launch, and I said, hey, do you have any with the third row? And they said, no, we didn't bring any with the third row. And that tells you all you need to know about, like, how many people are buying it.
Oh, no, it tells you that the batteries are taking up too much space.
No. That's
what Germans say.
No, they built it with the third row.
There'll be no batteries in this car.
You could get it with the third row. They just didn't bring any with the third row.
All right.
So the third row is there, but they didn't have any because I suspect no one is buying them with a third row.
There are still plenty of vehicles available with third row, and they're still creating them with third row, which is an important point. There will be families who will always need third row seats,
need them. I just want it to be useful.
You do, but once again, you're okay. So let's move on to the next
girls. How far did you drive these girls?
That doesn't sound right already.
this volleyball team.
No, tennis.
Oh, tennis team. Sorry.
Actually, quite a ways.
How far did you guys go?
From Colorado Springs to Boulder. No, I'm sorry. From Colorado Springs to Denver.
That's pretty far.
Yeah.
That's like 2 hours.
And they all were air conditioned and cool and everything else, and they were being funny and really loud and playing this horribly obnoxious music. And the minute I had the chance to turn on some really, really inappropriate music, I did, which was
there room for their tennis rackets, dare I ask?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tight fit. What I'm trying to get at is that the fact is that it was doable. And okay. In a pinch, I was able to get people in that vehicle and take them where they needed to go.
I kind of think it's like the off-roader, right? Like, it's you buy it because you think it's something you'll do, but you actually used it, so.
Yeah, and I am one of those freaks who actually, and I have a big family, too. Yeah. I've got a lot of siblings and whatnot who come into town, so having a third row is huge. And now I don't have any vehicles with a third row, and that's awesome. Because it's like, oh, bro, you're just going to have to go around a car now.
Your whole family is Thanksgiving. You couldn't drive them around.
Yeah, sorry. I can only hold a few people really small inside here. Sorry.
You can get in the back of that Santa Cruz, but it's a little cold.
Yeah, it's below freezing. But, yeah, you're welcome to get in the back. It was great. And I highly recommend doing that if you have family.
I guess you can get in the Mini. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I know. I have a Mini Cooper. Get in the Mini. Oh, sorry. Too short. Anyway, let's move on.
You still have the Jeep? Or did you get rid of the Jeep?
Yeah, I still have the Jeep. I actually loaned that to two of my brothers. I'll probably get rid of it next month. But we'll talk about the Jeep some other time.
Okay.
The next one on this list, and we're almost done, is the Nissan Maxima.
For those of you wondering, it's Tommy's old Grand Cherokee. I hate leaving questions on.
Oh, okay. Tommy's old Grand Cherokee. I actually did videos about me buying it.
Yep.
I've driven it for over a year. It's actually been over
Yeah, and you kind of put some lights on the front, made it cooler.
Yeah, I replaced a few things on it. It's got new brakes. It's got a – I replaced the alternator. New transmission.
Hey, if anybody wants it, he's selling it.
Yeah, next month in December I'm going to sell it.
Yeah. Shoot us an email at ask@TFL, and we'll pass it on to Nathan.
There you
go. So it's Tommy's old Jeep. We did a brand-new transmission. You did brand-new brakes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got like 220,000 miles.
About almost 230, I'd say now.
And we dare we say it because we can't. We have to disclose this. Bad heater core.
Bad heater core. So
not ideal for people in Colorado.
Just a little tiny bit of heat comes out. It does have heated seats, and also air conditioning is not really working. But the fan works just fine.
And the windows work.
And the windows roll down. So, but I've been using it as like a pickup truck. I've used it. I've off-roaded with it. I've taken my daughter and had her.
Oh, new tires on it too.
Oh yeah, the KM3s.
Yeah.
Which are probably worth more than the vehicle itself. So yeah, absolutely. Once again, we'll go over that vehicle a little bit later in a different broadcast. But anyway, next vehicle on this list.
That's a perfect like example of a car that has so much built-in like reliability and goodness that the thing that makes it like, you know, die isn't the motor, isn't like the mechanical bits, isn't the transfer case.
Transmission.
But that's been replaced. Mm. It's like the heating core, right, which is pretty important.
Yeah, actually, and I reviewed it and looked at it, and I could technically do it myself if I was willing to.
It's a hard ask. You got to take the whole.
The previous generation, you could actually cut a hole in a special place and do it, but.
That's when you take the whole dashboard.
Yes, the whole dashboard's got to come out, and it's about $1,000 to have someone professionally do it. And I thought about it at one point. I thought about keeping it and actually giving it to my kid.
So we've put more money into this thing than it's worth.
Oh, by far.
Because a new transmission in it was like 2,000.
New speakers, too.
It's like 2,200. How much did you do on brakes?
It was about $700.
So you had 3,000 on a vehicle that's worth maybe $3,000, maybe $4,000. So
it was $3,500 on a good day.
Yeah.
But it runs and drives like a dream. It still has, and it probably needs front shocks eventually. They squeak a little. But anyway, great car. I'm only getting rid of it because I bought my brand new Santa Cruz. Should we continue?
Yes, go.
Okay, the next one on this list, once again, is the Nissan Maxima, which is confirmed dead for 2023, ending a 40 somewhat on and off year production run.
Another sedan bites the dust.
This one I'm not surprised about, but I'm also really sad about because I used to love the Maxima.
I remember when we did that review and how sporty it was and how quick it was.
Well, it had 300 horsepower.
I know, yeah.
But it had a CVT.
And how comfortable it was and how well engineered it was, except for two things, right, that we couldn't get past, CVT and the front wheel drive.
Oh, there was more.
What was the third thing?
Back seat. That back seat has less room than the Altima.
Really?
And here's the problem.
I don't remember that, but
yes,
I trust you 100%.
Yeah, the Altima now has a turbo version, which would absolutely smash, at least up here at high elevation.
A variable turbo.
Yeah, it's
variable compression turbo.
Exactamundo.
Yep.
So essentially, other than the unique looks, which it does, I still think that the Maxima is a good looking car, but it just, and even trunk space, all of that stuff just doesn't measure up to some of the competitors. And now you have, you know, the Altima and even certain versions.
You know what they should do with the Maxima? They should make it electric. That is a great car to be electrified.
But it would be a really good idea. And what they should do is use the platform that they're using on the Aria, which apparently they're not using.
The Aria is kind of weird and hard to pronounce. And you know what I mean? You look at it and you're like, how do you say that? Why didn't they just call the Aria the Maxima and make it? You know, just rebrand the Maxima as the Aria.
I have no idea.
Because that nameplate is historic, right? It goes back to, I mean, I remember when I was in high school, people, you know, it was a
40
Ford,
years ago.
Camry, Maxima.
Yeah. The third generation Maxima, which was the one that was just kind of squared but had some rounded components to it, with the V6 and the manual, was a wonderful car. I tried desperately to buy one, but I couldn't quite get there. Still one of my absolute favorite designs of the sedan from the early 90s. This one, they just didn't go far enough. The front wheel drive part, you got to deal with it. Everybody does it with sedans. The CVT hooked up to a 300 horsepower engine just didn't quite work out. There's so many things they could have done. So maybe we'll see it in another version. Maybe you're right. Maybe it'll come back in an electric car. Who knows? Now, one vehicle that did kind of go against it is the next one on our list, and that's the Toyota Avalon.
Yeah, so that was the full-size version of Toyota's sedan.
Essentially.
Right? Yeah, so it would go, if you wanted something bigger. Than a Camry, you'd go for the Avalon. It was very comfortable. It was very luxurious in some ways.
It was the Toyota Buick.
And it was a sedan, which of course didn't
fly. And they tried to gussy it up and make it fun. They had a couple different versions of it, including a hybrid, and they also had a TRD version, which I drove in Texas. And between the exhaust setup and the suspension, tires and wheels and brakes, it was a fun car. But really, you're looking at that going, this is a divorced dad car. This is something that you really want to have something sporty, but you're not really there.
Or your grandfather's car.
Well, in hybrid format or the regular one, yes. But the TRD, because of that stiffer ride and everything else, really did sit in its own ether, and just nobody was interested, which is a shame. I thought it was a really decent car. Out of all the sedans that we've talked about today, with its 8-speed automatic transmission, just the regular V6, I'd be more than happy to drive one of those daily. It was a really well-put-together car.
I was listening to a podcast. What was I listening to? Oh, the intercooler. And one of the guys was talking about bemoaning the fact that no one is, you know, how SUVs and crossovers are taking over and no one's buying sedans. And I'm actually good with it. I don't have any particular love for the sedan. I think the form factor is limited. So why wouldn't you get a crossover when you could pay the same amount and have a vehicle that's taller, easier to get in and out of,
that's the
more
point.
Comfortable, more roomy, you know what I mean? Just a much more bigger Swiss Army knife. Why do you want a sedan? Just
the bottom line is
historically everybody's been doing sedans. Who gives a rat's ass?
So when you get in and out of a sedan, you have to kind of fall in it and whatnot. But Toyota came up with a way of fixing that as well. Because
yes, the Crown.
That's right. And so the Avalon is being replaced by the Crown. But there's something strange about the Crown that bothered me the minute I saw it.
It's like a lifted sedan
type thing.
Yeah.
But its shape means that the back seat space isn't great.
Yeah, so I saw it at the LA Auto Show, and I actually liked the look of it. I thought it was actually...
I don't mind the looks.
I thought the look was good. I didn't sit in it. It was on one of those rotisseries, right?
But so Tommy did.
He did, yeah. I didn't go in
and
there.
Tommy is about my height. And the reality is he got into the back seat and he had to kind of lean forward. And for a vehicle this size, and it is a pretty good sized vehicle.
It's a big vehicle. It has road presence.
Yeah. But it doesn't make any sense to me that they would design it that
way. Now, the Crown in Japan was always like their most luxurious.
On the top, yeah.
Yeah, it was what the Japanese gangsters all drove, right? It was.
No, they drove Cressidas.
I thought they drove Crowns.
They did. I was just giving you a hard time.
Yakuza. I thought that was like...
The Yakuza. Yeah, that's... Yeah. No, they drive Lexus. But back in the day, they drove the Crown. The Crown was really their, you know, the nice, almost Cadillac version of a Japanese vehicle in Japan, I would say. That's my... That's sort of... I haven't been there yet, by the way. I want to go.
And neither have I. Both of us. Yes. Tommy's been there.
We should go.
We should go. We should go. We should actually get on a plane and go, but we need to like set up a reason to go.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Come up with some great excuses for us to go.
Or who to contact in order for us to go.
You know, like Tim went, Tim Esterdahl from.
Yeah, he's our buddy, played golf.
He went and played golf with the chief engineer for the Tundra. So we need an excuse. Like, I don't want to play golf. We could go and do like a tour of.
I'd like to see.
Factory tours. Nobody watches factory tours.
I want to see Toyota City.
Yeah, it's like I don't know. Would anybody watch that video?
Yeah, especially if you and I rent a OEM, JDM, little tiny Toyota, something like key car, and we try to fit all our gear in there and our crew, something really really tiny, which has a third row seat. Oh, that would upset Roman. Okay, let's wrap this up because we have one more that we're going to mention, and we wanted to save it to the end, which just happens
and it's
to
behind
be the
us.
V.
If you're watching this on YouTube, there it is.
Bye-bye, Volkswagen Passat.
And it's going away not just in America, but in the entire world.
Yeah, they're killing it's dead.
Yeah, wow, that's an iconic name.
It is, and the Passat really kind of had a love-hate relationship in the United States. I think a lot of you would agree that the Passat essentially is being replaced by larger crossovers, big surprise.
Atlas.
The Atlas. They did have a Passat wagon, which I used to be in love with, because there was like the W8 and the W12 in some way, and then there was VR6s and a whole bunch of other things. The thing about the Passat that was so cool and historically was the fact that almost every form of drivetrain that Volkswagen had been in that vehicle at one point in time. There were manual versions that were really throaty and awesome and fun. There were a bunch of other vehicles that were just, you know, all based on that. Wagons, just a great car. But then it started getting really cheap and very Americanized, meaning...
Yeah, they brought over... I mean, when your claim to fame I remember at one point there were like 13 mid-size sedans, right, which is competed against.
Yeah.
And the Passat's claim to fame was that it had the most rear leg room.
Right, and that's as far as they could go. And all the panels were really cheap. We actually did a video years and years ago where we said this would be a great car for our moms.
Yeah, and they
built. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember they built it in Chattanooga for America. That's the picture painting
right
photo behind us, I you know, once again, I think it's a vehicle whose time had come. You know,
it just doesn't make a lot of sense for what the competition is out there too.
Nathan.
Eventually it does. For me. I shall live on forever. Now, vehicles that will not live on forever in the very short amount of time from now. And that is, we already mentioned the Jaguar F-Type. We're pretty damn sure that thing is going to go away.
There's a special 75 model right now.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to go away.
This one, the next one is like...
Oh, my God.
Crazy for Britain because everybody in Britain is losing their you-know-what because
of it. Not just Britain, a lot of Europe.
Yeah. This is an iconic car that we got for... Well, we got it for a while. And then, nobody moaned the fact when it left. We actually owned one.
I did. I loved it. I loved the little one we had, even though parts were falling off of it.
It's a problem. It's a Ford Fiesta.
It was the most emotion-filled Ford I've ever driven.
It's like when the Beetle went away for Germany. It's like that in the UK with the Fiesta going away.
It's the Ford Fiesta.
And the ST was just incredible.
It was so much fun.
Yeah, I remember, we had it. We did a video series, Is It Faster Than Fiesta ST, that nobody watched.
Nobody watched.
And we got rid of it because it started falling apart after like the first 10. Remember, like the seat started...
There's like a bracket and a bolt that was coming off.
And the seat got plastic. All squished and like the plastic was starting to already like, get weird.
Its build quality wasn't great. But overseas, the Fiesta's been around for such a long time. The name itself is so recognizable. The question I think is, will Ford take that name and slap it on something else? I think they will. I think you're going to see the Kuga replaced by some sort of small Fiesta, little kind of crossovery thing.
Electric Fiesta?
Possibly, and then you guys are going to riot, of course. Hopefully, save that for winning or losing soccer games.
When I lived in Europe, there was also one smaller than that. And in Europe, I think it was called the Ka.
I love the Ka. But in the British, first generation was the most.
I think in Britain, they called it the Ka. So some, I'm guessing. Ka. Let me know in the comments. I think in Germany, it was the Ka, but in Britain, it was the Ka.
You might be wrong. But
I could be wrong.
You could be right. And they had a sport version of it. And they had the world's best commercial where it actually beats the crap out of a bird trying to poop on it. It was like the best. You should look it up on YouTube. Great car. But that's not what we're talking about here. Fiesta, Gru.
I love small little hatchbacks.
Oh, that are hot?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Great little car.
It's a shame.
It's a pity. I feel for you, Europe. Okay, speaking of Europe, the Lamborghini Aventador.
Whoa, that's going to be hard to replace. Mm-hmm. In my mind, the Aventador. I remember when I first sat in it here at the dealership, and I was like, awestruck with the little on switch where it's like almost like a bomb.
Or a firing a missile.
Well, yeah.
Boom, bang!
Yeah. And the shape of it. I don't know what they're going to replace the Aventador with because it was so iconic.
Yeah. We're hearing stories about not electrified per se, but some sort of hybrid options that are coming out. And it makes sense because nowadays hybrid tech can outdo just regular plain old V12 tech. But...
How do you replace the emotion, the passion?
I don't know.
Of a V12 with an electric motor.
Well, I didn't say electric, electrified. Maybe it's a V8 with an electric motor hooked to it. Maybe it's going to be like the LaFerrari, which still sounded amazing, even though it was a hybrid. Was what? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's move on. It's sad, but
I love that. I love that vehicle. I think it's gonna live as one of the most iconic Lamborghinis. That and the NSX are two. If I once again had a couple hundred thousand dollars sitting around, in this case, I think they're like $400,000.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
No, and the Huracan is good, but the Aventador is, oh my. Yeah. It's just,
I'm not going to.
Everything a Lamborghini should be, right? It's so outlandish, so out there, so like full of lead in your pencil, Nathan, that it's almost obscene.
That car had cojones.
Yes. All right.
It was a hell of a car. Right. Okay, let's move on, though.
So these are cars that have not officially been pronounced...
dead yet. But yes. We're pretty sure they're on the cutting block very soon.
I think they're knocking at the door.
Oh, there's no doubt. So the first one is the Chevrolet Camaro.
Oh, that's going to hurt.
You guys know this. Look, they're just not selling.
Buy them if you want.
Now's the time.
Yeah. It's hilarious, isn't it? Like, you can't get a Corvette to save your life.
No.
A C8, right? They're still selling over sticker. but the Camaro just languishes. And yet the Mustang, for the most part, is still selling. And they've just announced a new Mustang. So Mustang soldiers on with a new version that is not going to be electric. That's going to be...
No, we thought there might be some electrification. It turns out there won't be, at least for now. Well,
it'll be traditional, you know, American V8 5-liter. And yet the Camaro, wah, wah, wah.
And the Camaro had some other drivetrain options. I actually thought all of them were quite good.
Yeah.
You know what the biggest problem with the Camaro was for me?
It was the cowl was too tall.
Couldn't see out of it very
well.
Yeah,
it was just like if you wanted to sit with your elbow, you'd almost have to have it like at face height.
But see, some guys who are total gangsters, they like that, man.
Yeah, so, they ride like this, man.
Yeah, so I don't. It's a shame, and you know, you guys are gonna scream and yell, "Hey, this is an American icon. Why get rid of it?" Yeah, well, you didn't buy it. I mean, you didn't. That's the thing. If you look at the numbers,
what was the one you loved? You loved the supercharger. Was that the L?
Oh, the LT1.
LT1, yeah.
Oh, that thing was a beast, and it was just had so much presence.
I remember when you got it and you drove it, and you were like kid in the candy store.
Oh, I love driving. I love bringing it home and getting my wife angry. Whenever I'd get her angry, just by pulling up to the house, I knew it was a good car.
Because it was
that thing made a lot of noise. The kids in the neighborhood, because it was yellow and black. And so, you know, the whole bumblebee thing, all the kids are coming out in the neighborhood to hear it. I'd let them sit in it, and then I'd rev the engine. Oh, my God. You know, it was a great car. It had lots of attitude, and it was a great driving car. Really, really, really good on the track. At the time, the only vehicle that Ford built that I thought was kind of comparable to it, at least with handling, was the Boss. This is the prior generation.
Right.
But that one didn't quite have the thrust.
Not the GT500, the previous gen?
No, the GT500 was more, but it was also, that was a beast in a totally different way. That thing didn't handle as forgiving as a Boss.
No, the Shelby GT500, the previous generation, was definitely a straight line car.
Oh, it just didn't give you a lot, Anyway, the point is that the Camaro, even the four-cylinder turbo, really good car. Not the best thing to see out of, but wow, what a great car, and such a shame that it's going away. And once it's gone, I don't know what GM's going to replace it with. I don't see any other entry-level sporty car that they're going to
Corvette?
Produce.
It's hard to have like two halo cars, right?
No.
Like Nissan has the same problem with the GTR and the Z, right? One of them eventually just kind of is left to die on the vine. You know what I mean? That's just you need one halo car and you do well. You have two halo cars, and I think even Porsche has that problem, right? Mm-hmm. What saved Porsche wasn't, you know, the 911. It was initially the Boxster, and then, of course, what supercharged them was the Cayman, right? But in the Porsche lineup, you've got the 911, you got the Cayman, you got the Boxster, and all three of those cars, you know, are very good. They all have different, like, flavors of performance, but the one that always steals the limelight is the 911.
Yeah.
Right? You could buy a used Boxster, and even when prices
But they're still selling the Boxsters,
right, but
and
the Caymans. You could buy a used one today for, like, $10,000 to $15,000 first gen. Try getting that same generation, that same year of 911 for anything less than $50,000. And the Boxster is just as good. It's built just as well. In some cases, it's just as quick.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I am saying that the example you're giving is just the wrong example. You can't. That's German perfection, and then you're comparing it with sloppy American cars.
So pick.
You are. Okay, Ford. Ford is producing tons of Mustangs. They still sell them, and they sold every single Ford GT that they built.
Yeah, but they only built
a halo car.
But they only built a halo as a halo car,
couple
right?
Thousand.
They only built a very limited run of them.
Yeah.
Very limited. Not like, you know, like with the Camaro and the Corvette. We just purchased, and there's going to be a video tomorrow about this, a C5.
Ugh.
You know how many C5s they built?
Yeah, like 250,000.
Yeah, a quarter million.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, that's a serious contender when you're competing against a Camaro.
Yeah. I don't see it that way at all. I truly believe that they could have, and they did for a while, separate them. But the problem was that Chevrolet did not listen to us. And
yes, of course. Yeah.
They should
have.
It wasn't even Mary. It was before Mary's time.
On your next run or whatever.
You guys should have just a couple of tweaks and you would have made the car better.
Does she drive to work or does she take a helicopter to work? What do you think?
Oh, private jet.
You think she jets to work?
Yeah.
So on your jet flight, Mary, you haven't listened to this podcast.
As you're having the people who work for you look at the pad and seeing the comments and reading what we're saying, then make that determination.
And by the way, Mary, I love you, girl, but you should have never sold Opel. Just my opinion.
Agreed. Okay. So the next one, unless, you know, and there's one final one. And you and I are very different on how we think about this car. It's the Kia Stinger.
Hmm.
I think it's a fantastic car.
I like it too. Why are we?
Because you say that they never sold them, and for a little while they were actually selling a few, which is why they kept them going and kind of did a refresh on them. The biggest issue I felt that the Kia Stinger had is, A, they didn't offer a manual version for a lot of people who wanted them, and they built a manual that could have gone in there. And also, it just didn't quite resonate with the crowd other than the kids who wanted to drift them. That's my issue.
I think it needed like 100 more horsepower to make it truly like competitive. So what you got was a car, I think it had like 350-ish out of the twin turbo V6. Is it a twin turbo V6?
Yeah, there was a four-cylinder turbo too.
Right, yeah. So I think it was like 300 plus, which at the time...
It moves.
It moves, but I think it just to really make it like holy cow, you need like 400 horsepower. And it was before Kia and Hyundai got serious about like stealing German. Well, they had Peter Schreier, so they stole the Audi designer. So it's got a lot of Audi in it.
Yes, it does. It's
right?
Fantastic.
Right. So you basically built a cheaper, better version of A7.
I wouldn't disagree. I think it's actually
better.
But
the problem is
better.
Nobody buys the A7, right? It's also like that's also a very niche car. So you built a better version of a niche car as opposed to building a better version of a popular car.
So something that one of the insiders, I can't officially give his name, from
Kia cheaper. Probably was cheaper.
Is that the reason isn't so much the sales. It's because the platform is being phased out because they are moving to electrification. This platform does not cater to it. It's also why the G70 has gone through many changes. They used to share a platform. And so you're going to see big changes with that vehicle as well. This is what was said by an insider. I will say this. The Kia Stinger, if you are in the market for a sedan, was a proper rear drive or all-wheel drive sedan.
Buy it.
Absolutely stunning car in so many ways. Great driving dynamics right out of the box, even with the base version. And then kids are slapping on larger wheels, the suspension, brakes, and all that, and turning them into really, really good cars to hustle.
Here's my problem with that car, okay? And it's a good problem to have, but it's a problem, and it's happened with a few other cars. Like, being in the business, there are some cars that if we had unlimited funds, I would buy and just have.
Is one of them I would.
Right? Mm-hmm. Right. Like, another one like that I wish we had bought was the final edition of the Evo. You remember the Evo?
Oh,
I loved it.
It was
an FE edition.
Yep.
That stuck around for, like, a number of years. I knew we didn't have the money to buy it, but the problem is, let's say we buy this last – let's say we get a new one right now. What do we do with it? Right, you guys.
We'd have to stick it in the barn and drive it very, very little.
You guys don't care about it. It's not going to get the views, so there's not a business case for it.
Right, because we do return based on what you guys view. If you like a car and watch the videos, yeah, okay.
And there's not a real like consumer buyer guide case for it. So like we buy it and then we test it for a year on a car that's going away.
Right.
So then the only possible rationale that you buy it for is because you love it and you want to hold on to it, and that's not going to pay the
love the doesn't rent. Pay the bills. And that goes with almost everything we have at TFL.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is unfortunate. I truly think that it's a fantastic, even the name, everything about that car I thought was grand. And I'm sure that there's a lot of journalists out there who have driven it and were like, oh man, what a loss. A lot of you guys out there who always wanted something that can handle but hold your family, you totally just missed out on a fantastic car. And you know what would have made it even awesomer, for journalists? Had they made it a wagon with a manual transmission, they would have sold at least 500
of
them.
If we at least 500,
good one, Nathan. Because that's the limited run on the Cadillac CTS-V wagon.
I mean, we just spent $38,000 on the cheapest four-wheel drive truck you could buy in America, right?
Well, mid-size V with four-wheel drive.
Yeah,
full-size four-wheel drive. We got to have that caveat.
Right, but you could have bought a Stinger for that.
Yeah,
but it wouldn't have gotten any views. So
I know. That's our deal. I'm talking about the audience out there.
Yeah,
but it's still there.
You know, one of the things that I always try to do, and you've I think understood this forever, is we don't do videos. Okay, this actually brings it full circle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we do videos and buy cars and test cars and sell cars because you guys want to see them and you guys are tired of seeing them, right? So we buy them because you guys want to see them, and then we sell them once you get bored of them, right?
And
so,
in some cases, they don't last long at all.
So to me, a Kia Stinger would be very self-indulgent.
It would be.
It would be buying it because...
We wanted it.
And I did that. I did that with the Jaguar,
mm-hmm.
right? I knew, but it was only $6,500, which in the scheme of things... To buy a British performance car for $6,500 that's a V8, I think is a bargain.
But also it fit with the show that we were putting together.
Yeah, it did fit with the show.
And that worked just fine, even though it wasn't watched as much as we would have liked.
But it's okay, because if you spend, from a business point of view, if you spend only $6,500 and you guys don't watch it and you hate it, then, you know, we could sell it for what we bought it for, and we could be self-indulgent.
Right.
But we can't be self-indulgent with $38,000.
Especially one that might, maybe two videos would be interesting, and then we're not able to do another half a dozen, which is what we would want to do with a car like that. It just wouldn't make it work. Now, there is a caveat there. If one of the people who worked at TFL bought one of those and drove it daily and we featured it, that would make a bit of a different story, but that doesn't happen that often.
So like one of the vehicles I want to buy, and that's because I was at the LA Auto Show and it just had like people around it like crazy, was the ID Buzz.
Fantastic design.
Yeah, but the problem with that vehicle is it's already out in Europe, and by the time it comes to America, which is 20, and that's another thing.
All right,
now,
year.
Yeah, now let's, okay, thank you, Mary, appreciate the time. Let's talk to Volkswagen, okay?
Yeah.
Volkswagen, yeah. What the heck? Come on, guys, really? You've got the you've brought in the most boring of all electric cars, and the one that, like, rocks and people would buy like candy. You're not selling here until 2024, and I'm talking about the ID Buzz. Why? Why, oh my, why? Are you production? Just switch over the production line at Chattanooga from the ID4 to the ID Buzz. Right, I drove by our local Volkswagen dealership. They have ID4s lined up like seriously, right? You would not have one ID Buzz. It would be pre-sold to 2026. And yet you're stuffing this car down the throats of American buyers that will sell initially because it's one of the few affordable electric cars.
With all-wheel drive.
Right, but there's no passion behind the thing.
Not like the
ID Buzz.
And
the one that people would would buy because it's passionate, it's comfortable, it's utilitarian, it's cool, it's got everything going for it. We don't get till 2024. I don't understand the rationale for that. Why are you treating us like this is your biggest market, potentially bigger than Germany, right? We have a lot more people here.
Yeah, and potentially bigger than China as well. The bottom line, Roman, you are absolutely right about everything you said. The biggest issue is that almost every single time Volkswagen builds, with a couple exceptions, something that would be useful for the masses, for some reason they hold it back, and then it goes a couple of years, and then by the time it comes out over here, it's a little past the date it really should be here. There is no reason that I can see of that you can't use the almost exact same platform. That's, by the way,
it is the same platform. It's the ID4 platform. Just put a different top on it.
Basically. And I don't understand why you're not doing that. You want to withhold a vehicle from the United States, a much bigger market than the European market you're catering to right now with your ID Buzz? It doesn't make a lot of sense.
There's so much passion, right? In Europe, I don't understand like the zeitgeist behind the Volkswagen van in Europe, but I do understand it here. Here it is like there's this incredible amount of pent-up demand for that.
Cult following almost, for a vehicle that doesn't exist.
People will mortgage their house. They will sell their firstborn.
Somebody that I'm related to.
They will go into debt to buy that.
Yep.
None of those things can you say about an ID4.
I agree 100%.
And yet, there's 20 ID4s parked in front of the Volkswagen dealership that no one's buying. And now we're getting to the point where it's like, okay, well, now they're built in Chattanooga, so the government's going to prop it up, right? Because obviously it's going to qualify for the new rebate. But that's really, do you really want to rely on that when you have a vehicle that you could sell that would sell no matter what? I don't understand. I don't understand.
Anything. Yeah, I agree with you.
Maybe there's smarter people than me running the
company. There is one more thing to keep in mind. This, I think, we'll close this out with this. Volkswagen has, a while ago, bought the rights to Scout. And they are building Scouts, and they're off-road vehicles and SUVs, and they're all going to be electric. I can't say much more than that, but the reality is that they are going to be building those vehicles as well. Maybe there's some sort of reason why the platforms or the technology or the business case for building those vehicles is interfering with the Buzz. I'm hoping that's a reason. Otherwise, frankly, and I'm sorry, Volkswagen, I love a lot of your cars, especially in the past, but not bringing the Buzz here right now is stupid.
Yeah, it seems very short-sighted.
And I hate saying that. I hate saying that to any automaker, it doesn't make any sense.
And I think when they did the planning for the ID4 to be built here in Chattanooga, they should have just scrapped it, kept it in Germany, and sold and done the
No,
the,
I think they should have built that alongside of the Buzz.
Yeah,
I mean, you both. That's what they should have done, and they didn't.
They got rid of the Passat and do the Buzz.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about the van, right, in case of...
The ID Buzz is a van. There's a great video with Roman at the LA Auto Show that just came out. You can go to alltfl.com for that.
And the other thing I would do,
Nathan... With Moto Man, and he actually does a great walk around, and they feature the ID Buzz in that.
The other thing, which is I don't understand, and we're going to, once again, bring it full circle, is they're only bringing the three-row here. Because the one that's here is the 2-row.
Yeah, they have a delivery van version in Europe.
Why can't we have both? Why can't we have the 2-row?
I mean, think about that. You would dominate the market. You guys would absolutely kill it.
How much more is it? And you could see it's designed for the 3rd row. If you look at it back there, there are like cup holders and there are armrests in the 3rd row. Just give us both. Why are we?
Maybe
like,
is it a removable 3rd row?
No. It's yeah. We're only going to get the longer base.
And
third.
We need a Westphalia. And we need a bunch of other
just
versions.
Just bring in both. Doesn't people would buy the 2-row. I'm serious. It's a perfect like little a California surf car for a 2-row. Who needs a surf vehicle that's got 3 rows?
Volkswagen, ich liebe dich.
Yes.
Vernicht.
Yeah, their feel.
Okay. So I want you to contact Roman and
Entschuldigen,
I.
Nathan ist ein bisschen zu...
Yes, nicht gut, Entschuldigung. So the point is that bring us
too
out
rot.
There.
You're a bit too red. Yeah. I didn't know what else to say.
I know.
What German's like. Yeah. Du bist rot wie ein Krebs, Nathan.
Danke. So the point is that bring us out the German team with Tommy, basically the whole crew. Bring us out there. Okay, at Stuttgart, is that where they're based?
Wolfsburg.
Wolfsburg.
Mercedes and Porsche are based in Stuttgart.
It doesn't matter. Wolfsburg. Anyway, so bring us out there.
No, you know what? We're going to get
and we will sit with your people.
I think we're going to get to drive the ID Buzz in California.
Yay. So we'll drive it, and then we'll have to sit on our hands for a year.
Yes.
Okay,
but
that sounds
great. We already told Volkswagen we want to order one. That's how much we love it.
Yeah.
We want to buy one. And, you know, when we when we buy something, it like gets... a boatload of views.
Yeah.
I mean, like millions, tens of millions. So
over time, indeed.
Yeah. So, and we have a limited budget, so to buy a vehicle is seriously important to
us. So anyway, bring us over. We'll talk to you guys. Please listen to us. Okay. And with that, let's wrap it up. Guys, have a wonderful week.
Which of these? Would you rather?
The NSX. I'd buy that tomorrow. I'd sell two of my kids.
No, okay. I would too. But let's say ones that we can actually afford. Okay. Which of those would you say should stay? Out of all those.
Oh, which one should stay?
Out of the affordable ones. I'm going to go with the Kia Stinger.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite of those.
Yeah, but once again, the Kia Stinger is not officially confirmed.
Stinger, Camaro, or Jaguar.
Oh, which one of those would I say?
No, out of all of them.
Oh, out of all of them.
Those are the three I would like.
Okay.
I'm going to be sad about. Audi
R8
TT.
I think the Avalon, in terms of a larger picture, should stay around because more and more large sedans are going away. But in terms of my own personal passion one, it's a toss-up between the F-Type and the Camaro. I love the F-Type. It's such a pretty car.
It
sounds so good.
The problem I have with the F-Type is it's got this funky seat where every time I sit in it, it hits me right in the back, where my neck connects to my backbone.
That's a problem I don't have because I slouch more than you do.
And it hits right there, and I can't sit in the thing for more than like an hour without feeling.
But I could stare at it for hours. I love that car. But I love the Camaro, so it would be a toss-up between those two.
All right, thanks for watching. Remember, alltfl.com. Thank you, patrons. Thank you, Nathan. And we'll see you next time. Ciao.
Cheers, guys.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.